You can tell it's been a while because I forgot to put my mic on. We don't really use mics too much in Myanmar because usually there's no power. Occasionally there is. And the PowerPoint, either I forgot to put it in the computer, which I'm pretty sure I remember doing, or it got eaten or something. So I don't know. Anyway, there's no PowerPoint. Sorry, Mike. So you'll just have to live without it. Not that it's that big of a thing. The message I'm going to share with you this morning is the same message I preached my first Sunday in Myanmar, and I will explain to you the significance of that statement next week. But I did want to let you know, I walked in this morning. It was so great to be back. I was gone 3 weeks in Myanmar, and I walked up here, the worst team's practicing. You know, I was gone 3 weeks, but I didn't think I was gone this long, because here's the book that's sitting on the pulpit this morning. It's Choosing a New Pastor. The Complete Handbook by Henry A. Verkler, or whatever his face is. So, man, how soon they forget. I'm telling you. And the other thing I want to mention real quick was about 2 days ago or something like that, because when you travel across international dateline, things get very strange. We flew out of Bangkok on the 21st of March at 8 or something in the morning, and we arrived in L.A. on the 21st of March at 10. It was like 2 hours later, after spending about 18 hours in transit. It's a very strange thing that happens when you travel. But in the hotel we stayed at in Bangkok the evening before we flew back here, there was a Bible, a Gideon Bible, in the hotel. I told the Gideons this. And inside it had two columns. One was English, the other was Thai. So it's a worldwide ministry. I wanted to start off this morning by giving you the top 10 signs that your pastor is jet lagged, just in case you're wondering about it. Number 10 is he wonders out loud why the sun is out at night, because it is right now 11:11 p.m. on Sunday evening in Myanmar, so my body thinks that's what time it should be. Number 9, spends hours staring at nothing with his mouth open. You'll probably see me do that this week. Number 8, he drools a lot. That's a sign that I'm jet lagged. Number 7, favorite answer to any question is, what? Did you say something? Tries to fasten the seatbelt every time he sits down. That's if you knew how they drive over there, you'd get that one. Number 5, he drools a lot. Number 4, keeps saying, hard to believe I was there, or hard to believe I'm home. Either way, because it's I'm in that middle ground where I'm still kind of trying to figure out which way that I am. He continually mumbles things under his breath that you don't understand, like Minglaba. Now, you don't know, most of you, there might be a couple of you here that know what Minglaba is, and I'll explain that to you next week. It's something to do with the Burmese language. Number 2, often thought to be a narcoleptic. I can't even say it. See, I can't talk this morning. Narcoleptic. Those are people that fall asleep without any warning whatsoever at all, which is what I was doing driving home last night. And the number 1 sign that you're jet lagged is, I'm sorry, were you saying something? Okay, I want to talk to you this morning just a little bit about waiting on God and waiting for change. That's the title of today's message. Why does God make us wait? It seems like that if you've spent much time at all reading your scriptures and living the Christian life, you know that our timetable and God's timetable don't seem to sync up together very well very often. So why does God make us wait? Well, there are some reasons why, and I want to share with you some of the reasons why God makes us wait, and then I want to talk about how I can grow through the seasons of my life where God has me waiting. And most of us are waiting for something in our lives right now. We may be very busy in one area, but we're waiting in another area. I know some of you are waiting as new ministries that are coming out of the 40 Days of Purpose that we finished right before I left, you know, are starting to come together. Or your small groups are getting the material to move on with our small groups that began during the 40 Days of Purpose. Or there's all kinds of things that we're waiting for. So why does God make us wait? Well, the first thing on your outline there is, first bullet point is, it renews our strength. Waiting on the Lord renews our strength. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31 says, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. You know, everybody needs to stop and rest sometimes. Of course, that's why God in the Old Testament made the Sabbath. He made a day of rest because God knows that not only physically, But also mentally and emotionally, you need downtime. You need a rest. You need a break. Everybody needs to stop and rest and then refocus on life and the important things in life. Because it is so easy, especially in today's society where we're so busy and things are going on all the time and things are just constantly happening. It's so easy to let what's really important slip and let what is immediate take the place of what is important. Most often in your life, you're going to have a lot of things that demand and scream and yell for your attention. Those things are often not really the important things. They seem important because they make the most noise. But the real important things in your life, your relationships, they're easy to lose sight of. And then you wake up one day and you realize, I've lost a wonderful friendship because I got so busy, I didn't put time into it to maintain that relationship. When we were growing up in Indiana, we were close to a family called the Bruces. They were a Catholic family. They had a lot of kids, like, I don't know, 100. I know there weren't that many. There were like six of them. They were always running around, and we were always playing together and having a good time and stuff. And we moved out to Arizona about the same time from Indiana. So, you know, during the grade school years, we hung out together. A little bit during high school, and then we sort of lost track of them. And about 2 years ago, we got back in touch with them. And one of them, Janice, who's about my age, brought her parents over to see my parents. And it was such a blessing for my parents to see them. And, you know, we had no idea when they met that my father was going to be dead within about a year of that first, you know, meeting. And several times during that year, they got together because Janice took the time to bring her parents over to my folks' house. And she was at my dad's funeral. And she's struggling with cancer, and I got an email. I read it when I got home last night, and it's basically her saying goodbye. And she's going to probably, I don't know how long she's got left to live on this earth, not long. But it's those kind of things. When these things happen to you, you realize, you know, I let that relationship slip just like she did because we got busy living life. You don't get that back. So you need to take time to wait on God, to renew your strength, to get refocused on what's important so you can do what counts for God, because you have one life to live and that's it, and we want to do what's important. The second thing, that reason why God makes us wait, is it renews our character. It renews our character. Paul in Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4 says, not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Waiting for God to act in your life gives God a chance to work on your character. Because the most important thing in your life is not to be just doing what God wants you to do, it's to be the person God wants you to be. Too many people get so involved in doing the right things, they forget to be the right person. And over the last 30 years or so, we've seen a lot of high-profile failures in ministry, and I think sometimes that happened because they worked too much on their outward image and they didn't take enough time to deal with their character. If your character's not strong, if you're not really growing spiritually, if you're not plugged into God and deep in His Word, the pressure of the ministry that you serve God through will kill you. It's hard to serve God. It's hard to live the Christian life. And if my character's not strong, I will be hurt by it. So God says, time out, stop for a minute, and deal with your issues. And once you get back on track there, then you can step back into ministry, but not yet. Waiting for God to act in our life does improve our character, even though we don't like it. The word wait's an interesting word because I think it's almost always used negatively. There was an expression that I quoted in Myanmar and that we used quite a bit during this last mission trip, and that is hurry up and wait. Now, those of you who have been in the military are familiar with that one. And mission trips are a lot like that. Mission trips are you wait for the right time, you wait for this stuff, and then boom, and then you're really, really busy, and then you just wait for a while longer. Well, it's a strange kind of thing. And coming home was like that. Flying is just a lot of waiting. You wait in the airport for them to finally get around to letting you on the plane. Then you get on the plane. Then you sit down and you wait for the plane to hurry up and get to the next airport where you'll get off the plane and wait for them to let you on the next. You're just waiting. That's all you do, you know. Nobody likes to wait. Nobody likes to wait. Especially in our culture today. You got email. You got microwave. You got everything. I just want to bam, 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 bam. But then God comes along and says, oh, I think you'll just wait for a while. And I'm like, come on, God! The Bible's full of that. You read in the Old Testament, how long, O Lord? That's Bible speak for, hurry up! God, come on! We want it now! God says, no, you're just going to wait a while. We're going to let you age a little bit. We're going to let you marinate in this and just kind of soak up something. It's going to be good for you. It's not going to feel good, but it's going to be good for you. God wants you and me to focus on our character, not just our conduct. So it renews our strength, it renews our character, and thirdly, it renews our purpose. Waiting on the Lord renews our purpose. Look at James 5:11. As you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Job found out the hard way that everybody has a purpose in life, and a lot of times it takes a lot of time to figure it out. Job didn't get it at first. His friends didn't get it at all until God came and talked to him. We spent 40 days looking at the five purposes God has for our lives, but it will take more than just 40 days for you to figure out how that all works in your life. That's something that really takes a lifetime, and God is constantly at work on renewing within us our understanding and our appreciation of what his purpose is for us. And we need to take time to reflect on that. You can't always do it in a 10-minute, morning devotional. That's what we're going to do. Okay, God, here I am. Okay, good. All right, let's go. No. There are times when you just need to stop and get focused and just take a little downtime. And let God speak to your heart that way. So some of you I know right now are in situations where external forces are kind of making you wait in areas of your life where you don't want to wait. Well, look at that as a gift from God. And let God work to renew your strength and renew your character and renew your understanding of your purpose. Okay, I want to talk to you a little bit too about how can I grow through this season of waiting? How can sitting around doing nothing make me grow? That's the question a lot of people ask me. Well, first thing you got to understand is waiting on the Lord is not sitting around doing nothing. Okay? That's not what it is. What is it? Well, I want you to look on your outline there. Number one, under how can I grow through a season of waiting is wait for the Lord. I want you to write the Lord on the fill-in there. I will explain why that's significant to you in a second. Wait for the Lord. Look at Isaiah 64, verse 4. Since ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. Now, the Hebrew word wait is really interesting word because it means, the literal root meaning of the word means to bind together by twisting. You might wonder, how do we get weight out of that? Well, and what does that mean? That word was used of making rope because that's how, in ancient times, they didn't just run down to the Home Depot and buy rope if they needed it. They made it in their villages. There are many villages in the third world today where they're still doing that. And what you do is you start with threads, and you bind a few threads together, and then you bind some more threads together, two or three of them together, and then you take those, and you twist those together. And the more you twist together, the thicker the rope gets, and the tougher and the stronger it gets. So that if you go back and look in many ancient cultures, they used really big, thick ropes for like anchor ropes and ropes that would tie things down. And those ropes are practically unbreakable. And all of that comes from taking little threads that you could snap with a finger and twisting them together. Now, when I got home last night, one of the things I did once I kind of figured out which end was up and a few things was, I flipped on the television and there was one of my favorite shows. I hadn't seen it for a month. Mythbusters. Yeah, I love Mythbusters. And it was a rerun and I didn't even care because I was kind of fading in and out as I was watching it. And it was this thing where they were testing the myth of, can you really make a rope out of different stuff that was readily available in a jail cell and this actually escape from a long, climb down a wall? So they made a rope out of bed sheets, and they made a rope out of toilet paper, and they made a rope out of human hair. They bound it all together, and all three of them worked. You can take something extremely fragile, like toilet paper. I mean, come on, it's toilet paper. But if you bind it together and twist it together the right way, it will support your body weight. That's amazing. You see, you may feel right now in your life, my life's a mess, and it's just, and I'm weak, and God can't use me, but I'll tell you what. God is working right now to take all the disparate strands of your life, maybe they're all messed up, they're all tied up in knots, and he's straightening them out, and he's twisting them together, and if you give him the time through your life, he will pull all these things together, and you are going to go from being a mess, and maybe you're kind of messy right now, but God's goal is to turn you into a rope that he can use to throw to some drowning soul and save them and bring them in. That's the goal of waiting. And that's why we have to wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Look at Isaiah 49, verse 23. Kings will be your foster fathers, and their queens your nursing mothers. They will bow down before you with their faces to the ground. They will lick the dust at your feet. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Those who hope in me will not be disappointed. Waiting can be disappointing to modern people in particular because we're in such a hurry. But God says, look, you won't be disappointed in me if you will really wait on me and on what I want to do in your life. Look at Psalm 37, verse 7. Be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for him to act. Don't worry about evil people who prosper or fret about their wicked schemes. So many times I don't want to wait because they go, I got to go, God, I got to hurry. Look what's happening over here. Look what's happening over there. I got to go. Come on, come on, come on, come on. God is never in a hurry. Never. Because he sees things from an eternal perspective. And what God wants me to do more than anything else is to wait for him. And here's the point I want to make to you. Our waiting on God needs to be less goal-oriented and more God-oriented. To be perfectly honest with you, most of the time when I'm waiting on God, I'm not actually waiting on God. I'm waiting on God to do something so I can go do what I want to do or feel like I need to do. And that's okay. But God says, while you're waiting, why don't you focus your life on me? Why don't you wait on me? Why don't you spend this time to get to know me, to love me, to care about me, and to let me love you and work in your heart and in your life and change your character and renew your strength and all that stuff I just talked about. So let's not simply wait for God to do something and be thing-oriented. Let's wait on God himself. Let's spend that time waiting before him, focused on Jesus, coming to know Jesus better, asking him how I can become more like him. That's the real purpose of waiting on the Lord. It's not just waiting around for God to do something. It's waiting on him himself to draw near to me and to help me, even more importantly, draw near to him. So wait for the Lord. Don't just wait for something to happen. How many times do we treat God this way? Like he's the big vending machine in the sky. And I say my prayers and do whatever, and I'm waiting for the thing to come down that I want. It's not about the things God gives. It's about God himself. So let's focus our waiting on him. Number two, wait for a change. Wait for a change. Psalm 5, verse 3 says, in the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you and wait in expectation. That's a beautiful picture. In the morning, you wake up, you pour your heart out to God, and then as you enter your day, you're expectantly waiting to see what's God going to do today. What is he going to do? That's the Christian life. I'm going through life, and I'm looking for what God is doing. Too many times we forget to do that, and so God answers prayers, and we don't even know it because we weren't looking. It's amazing. If you stop and look back, you can see all the things God has done that at the time you weren't even aware of because you were too busy or you were distracted or whatever. But David says, no, no, no. Lay your heart before God and then live in expectancy to see what he's going to do. Look at Isaiah 30. The Lord longs to be gracious to you. He rises to show you compassion. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all who wait for him. If you want to be blessed, wait on God and wait for the change that he wants to bring into your life and into the relationships that you're dealing with or in your job situation or whatever it is that you're dealing with today. Wait on the Lord. And second thing I'm doing is I'm waiting for this change. Look at Jude 1, 21. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Now, the fact is, change is hard, and people instinctively resist it. Institutions really resist change, massively resist change. But even individual people, we resist it. We say we want it till it comes, and then we don't like it. And what people say all the time is, well, yeah, I wanted something different, but I didn't want that. Well, sorry, it's the way it is. And guess what? 2009 is going to be a year of change in almost every area of your life. You know why? Because every year is a year of change, that's why. And change is accelerating. The pace of change in the Western world, at any rate, is accelerating. And we just have to realize this is the way it's going to be. So the only question is, am I going to allow God to work through this and direct my life, or am I just going to kind of stumble around and be confused for the next 12 months? Well, I say let's wait on God. I say let's let God move in our lives. I say, why not take what God was speaking into some of your hearts during the 40 days of purpose? Why not spend the next few months following up on it and actually carrying it out? Whether it was a new ministry or getting involved in a small group or whatever it was. That's what you want to be doing. God is the God of bringing change into our lives. All of our lives need change. Every single one of them. I don't care how long you've been a Christian or how good you are, how much you know. Every single one of us needs change. So why not say, God, I'm ready. Change me. And number three, the third thing I want you to remember in terms of how can I grow through a season of waiting is this. I need to remember, and I'm sure you do too, that God is waiting for me. God is waiting for me. We talk about waiting for God, but have you ever flipped that coin over to look at the other face of that coin? The other side of that coin is, I'm not just waiting for God, God's waiting for me. Look at this, Colossians 1:11. This is the New Living Translation. We also pray that you will be strengthened with his glorious power so that you will have all the patience and endurance you need. May you be filled with joy. You see, God is waiting for me to get to the point and to grow to the point where he can do some of the things in my life that he'd like to do. God is waiting for this church to get to the point and grow to the point where he can do some things here that he wants to do. We blame God. Oh, God, I'm not doing this. God, I'm not doing that. Maybe it's because we're not ready for it yet. Did that ever occur to you? Did you ever think that maybe my lack or your lack of spiritual growth in a certain area, that's the key component that God is waiting to have happen before he can do something? God's waiting for me, and God's waiting for you. So we need to get with the program. We need to begin to take this stuff seriously and really let Jesus change our lives. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord isn't slow about his promise to return, as some people think. Now, I know a lot of people that think that way. And a lot, half of them aren't even Christians. I know non-Christians. Well, how come Jesus hasn't returned yet? You know, I always wonder when my non-Christian friends talk like that. It's like, well, you're not even a Christian. Are you really sure you want him to come back? Have you thought this through? I don't think so. But there's a reason why he hasn't come back. Peter says, no, he's being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to perish, so he's giving more time for everyone to repent. And God is giving more time for all of us to get to the place we need to be so that his will can go forward in this world. God is waiting for us. He's waiting for some of you to say, okay, I'm going to do it. I'm going to step out in faith. I'm going to get involved in this ministry. I know God's been leading me to do it, and I've been resisting him. Now's the time. I'm just going to do it. God's waiting for us to make those quality decisions and jump in. Isaiah 30, verse 18. I read this before. I'm going to close by reading it again. The Lord longs to be gracious to you. Think about that. God wants to bless you and your life more than you want it blessed. So you're thinking, okay, God wants me to be blessed. I want to be blessed. Where's the blessing? Well, let's look at this. He rises to show you compassion. Now, that's a beautiful picture because ancient monarchs seldom rose. They were seated. You came before them, and then you would kneel, or in some cases even prostrate yourself. For the king to rise in your presence, That's either a sign of great blessing or you're about to have your head separated from your shoulders, depending on the mood he's in, you know. But for the king to stand up before you, that's amazing. And to stand up and bless you, that's a sign of immense favor from the king. So the picture is the God of heaven and earth rises in your presence to show you compassion because he's a God of justice. And then the last phrase, blessed are those who wait for him. God is waiting for you to get in the right spot with the right attitude, with the right strength and the right character component, focused on the right purposes so he can work in your life. The question is, when are you going to get there? When are you going to get there? This morning, God is saying to me, and I believe God is saying to all of you, I want to bless you. I want to work in your life. I want to use you as critical components in the kingdom of God. The question is, are you ready to be used? I'm going to ask the worship team to come forward, and we're going to sing a song of decision. As we do, I want you to pray, and I hope that as you do, God will speak to your heart about the next step he wants you to take in your own spiritual pilgrimage. And let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, we ask you to help us now this morning. Help us to realize that as we wait upon you, so you wait upon us. And that you are so gracious and so compassionate that you, who can do all things, are willing to stop and wait for your children to get it together. Lord, help us today to recommit, to get ready to take that next step for you, so that you can use us to reach your world for Christ. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.